So, good morning and welcome to the podcast. And we're going across to London to talk to Annie Bennett. It's on the subject of schoolgirls in the UK and the abortion figures that have just been published this week.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning to you, Annie. And obviously, it's a very, very worrying headline that I wanted to talk to you about. First of all, the headline in the Mail online, schoolgirl had four abortions before her 16th birthday. And a British schoolgirl, among more than 200 under 16-year-olds to have had repeat abortions since 2011. A further five of these girls had three terminations before age of consent. And this is coming amid concern that abortions are being used as a form of contraception, which even to say that sounds pretty awful, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very distressing to think that that's an option even to people that are acting out sexually very, very young. I mean, that's a horrendous statistic there that you've just cited. And, I mean, for me, it brings up the breakdown in cultural society and also in the family values. And I just think it has to be addressed, really, and I think government has to lead on this.
I think the problem really is, as with a lot of government things, they look at statistics, and statistics don't really always give you what you need. I'm sure that you know this as much as I do. I mean, they're saying that the total rose to 89 out of 2,925 under-16s to have abortions in 2012, and then almost like it's... something that they're proud of. They say it fell to 68 of 2,538 girls last year. But I mean, this is really, it's dreadful because it's almost like it's not being, it's almost like people don't realise these are people that could become human beings that we're talking about. I mean, we can use all sorts of terms, but that's the reality, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And also there's recent research to support that actually the babies are feeling even in the womb. So they can pick up on the environment outside the womb even when they're inside. And that's really quite interesting data that we're learning about now. And women that are stressed, overly stressed, the baby will sense that and pick that up. And the behaviours will begin in the womb. So the baby will put their hand through the head in a stressed way when the mother is feeling stressed herself. And I think that's fascinating. But I think to get to your point, I think it's about the young people in society today, very, very young, starting, you know, 10, 11, 12, becoming sexual. They're doing sex. They're doing it rather than being sexual. And I think that's where education needs to come in, about what it's like to be in relationships. And I think it's important that we do teach our children the values of a loving relationship and how that then supports the family system, the network. And I think that's vital. And this is the piece I think that's being lost.
Norman Wells of the Family Education Trust said too many teenagers were having sex without thinking about the consequences. And the quote that they give... too many are being taught that they have a right to sex without consequences and are free to dispose of any unborn child that threatens their lifestyle. And
well, I mean, they're underdeveloped human beings. They're, you know, with no disrespect, they are still learning about the world. They are still learning about themselves in the world. They are not formed and developed as adults, and they are therefore, in my mind, unable to take responsibility for these actions. But I think that society has to do something about that because I think the messages that are given through the media are very, very powerful, and that seems to be what the youth of society listen to more than anything else. And I think there is a responsibility there that needs to be accepted by the media.
Well, I can remember that I wrote to David Cameron because there was a song which was called Blurred Lines, and it was number one in about 30 countries. And I was trying to explain that If you have a song which basically is the line of the song was something like, yeah, you're a good girl, but you want it, and that sort of thing. And then they had this thing which is becoming, a part of young lifestyle today, which is like waggling the backside in front of the male, which, I mean, this is something which really shouldn't be on mainstream media and television as openly as it has been, you know.
That's right. It sets the precedent for the behaviour. And of course, like sheep, the youngsters will, and we did in our time, we follow that. We think it's acceptable, but it's the consequences that you talk about, which are absolutely crucial, that are addressed. And that's where I think that the government needs to be more proactive in setting part of the curriculum about relationships and the importance of relationship and values, the importance of that. And not necessarily attached to religion, because I think that's had its job and has a job, but in this sense, this is different. And I think that the children need to understand the stages of a relationship and the speed, as in not the speed, of becoming sexual when you're in a loving relationship. But it's a big hill to climb.
I think there's another thing involved, and for me, it's the fact that there used to be a law, it probably still is on the statute books, but, you know, the law is that apparently... legally, you're not supposed to have children until, I believe, the age of consent is 16. I think they were talking about lowering that to 13, and I know that in places like the Vatican City, it's even lower. I think it's about 9. Well, you know, when they say the age of consent, I think there's a great confusion as to what consent means. Does it mean that, you know, we just all agree to have sex and have fun and enjoy the sexual act without even thinking that there could be a child that's a result of the act?
But I think the word consent invites the belief that there would be consciousness with that consent. In other words, that you are conscious to make that decision. A lot of the children that are having sex nowadays aren't conscious because they're not developed enough to make those kind of important decisions. But they're also not conscious because they may be plied with alcohol or drugs or peer pressure. So it changes the state of the presence of the consciousness of that individual.
Yep, I think also another thing that for me is important is I think I'm probably going to sound as if I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. Because of what's coming now to light regarding all sorts of people in high places, I wouldn't be at all surprised if some of this is the problem with the people who make the law or the people who might be concerned with breaking the law themselves. And I'm thinking in particular of the paedophiles that are coming out of political circles, Whitehall circles, for example. And, you know, the law as it stands, they probably in the past have always thought of just girls. Well, of course, this is all sorts of implications now. The fact is that a lot of these men have had their wicked way with young boys and continue to want to do so. And I think that the whole area has got to be looked at and changed in the way that people perceive the value of life. That's what I think it's all about.
Well, I agree. And I mean, these things that we're learning about now are horrific. I mean, this isn't only about physical rape. This is about mental rape. This steals from the person's mind. It steals from their development. It steals from their life. And that's unquantifiable. I mean, I have worked with people that have been subject to abuse in institutions. It is horrendous, the impact that abuse holds, not only with the individual, but the family system, the new family system if there's a marriage, and then the children within that. And I can't quite think of the word, but it spreads. It's like a disease. It, the pain and the injury caused with that kind of abuse, sexual abuse, is so far-reaching. It devastates families. It devastates systems. It becomes endemic.
Okay, well now, one of the judges said that, in fact, I think I've got the story, which I'll go back to quickly, and it was to do with a judge, Mr. Justin Mostyn, who gave the ruling that a 13-year-old schoolgirl, he gave her the right to choose whether to have an abortion, and said that the youngster was capable of making up her own mind as to whether or not to keep the child. The teenager, who lives with her parents, only realised she was pregnant when her grandmother spotted her growing bump and took her for medical tests. She's believed to have thought she had been gaining a little weight for other reasons. Well, you know, I'm not too sure what's going wrong, but I do know that part of it has got to be that if people are singing songs all day about having sex and people are seeing videos on TV, MTV and various other parts of the system, which seem to indicate that people are all quite happy to have sex and nobody's going to bother them, there's something going drastically wrong with the moral values of people at a very, very early age, in my opinion.
I agree with you, and I think it's from the beginning, right from the beginning, when we're bringing new life into society, the child, the developing baby, is picking up information that, even when they're pre-verbal, it's picking up information to make sense of the world, and that's information from anywhere. It's a survival. I mean, that's what we do as humans. And the influences and the impact of the messages that are given through the media, and not only the media, but out on the street, it has an impact on the developing mind and how we then structure our belief of the world, without a doubt. And for the judge to make that ruling that the child at 13 was capable of making a decision like that, he was wrong, in my opinion.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the problem is... Can you hear me all right, by the way?
I can indeed, yes.
Yeah. I think the problem is that the judges, too many of them now, seem to be coming back into the media as people that have been involved in paedophilia, like... I think the Welsh speaker has just been up in front of the courts. I also think that there were two of the speakers that have been up in the courts in the last couple of months. And, you know, if people who are making the judgments that everybody else has got to live by have got rather dodgy morals, then I'm at a loss to know where you go. Let's say if we went to look at what's going on in the schools, and I did point you towards an Ofsted marking teacher down for actually teaching report. This is a study by the think tank Civitas revealing inspectors prefer trendy methods. We were talking about this yesterday. It also suggests that they show an aversion to direct teacher instruction. Well, I mean, if children are not being taught the sort of values that, you know, Christian values anymore, then I think this might be part of the place to find your answers, because maybe it's because of the changing nature of Britain. Maybe they need to look at how many people are from which faith system, because there would appear to be something that was in the Christian teaching which at least valued life, and which is something I think is very important.
I think that that student learning began, well, I'm pretty sure when I was studying, I learned a little bit about that through the writings of Carl Rogers. I think he was doing, in the 50s or the 60s, doing some kind of, may have even been later than that, sort of research into how people learn, and it's kind of existential in its principles, which I think is interesting, but I don't think it needs to be the whole of the story. I don't think it's one size fits all, but I think there might be subjects where that is can be quite helpful, but not across the board. Does that make sense?
Well,
and I think where, with regard to value systems and beliefs, that kind of learning, it's an interesting one to think about. But I think it, you know, that it's important to have some, and I don't want to use the word structured learning there, but some, I suppose, philosophy or something that can be held on to rather than made up of, because when I start to think of that, then I start to think of the film All Animals Are Equal, which is that film now, that some are more equal than others. Oh, Lord of the Flies. And I start to think of that film when the children... Do you remember it, Vince?
Yes, I do.
And how that really turned into a very frightening, small community that had no structure, had no thought-out philosophy. Does that make sense?
Well, in a way,
you could say that sexually that might be what's happening now.
Well, I know that when we've talked about this previously, you know, I explained that I come from a Catholic upbringing. I had a very strict parent, and then I had a very, very strict people in the school. And whether or not we agree with it when we become older, at least we're given the difference between right and wrong, and we were always taught about the sixth and the ninth commandments, which was basically... for a boy not to just go out and have sex because he feels like having sex, because at the moment one of the parts of the equation which doesn't seem to be addressed in either of the reports that I've read seems to be that obviously the girls have got a bigger commitment because of the fact that they carry the child or carry the fetus and then have to have it terminated. But, you know, too many of these guys are having sex and, you know, it's almost like animal... Well, it is animal behaviour. And sorry...
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what I was sort of looking at in connection with that that philosophy or that lack of philosophy in that film. Or there was a philosophy, it just didn't really have a structure to it. It was a free-for-all. And I think there is a similarity or some kind of parallel there. But I think that one thing we're really missing when we focus on pregnancies and abortion is the sexually transmitted infections. And these are rife. Statistically, I think it's genital herpes, which is the highest stat at the moment, which is genital warts rather, then herpes, then gonorrhea, then syphilis. There were over 70,000 cases in 2010. 75,000 of genital warts, and herpes are 29,000, and syphilis 21,000. I mean, that's in a year. That's a lot of sexually transmitted diseases. And then that's not to mention HIV, which people are obviously still transmitting, but it's going undiagnosed. And they say that 26% of this is going undiagnosed.
But I mean, really, rather than put the accent on the... you know, the likes of what can happen to the people who are having sex, it's almost like the unborn child has got no rights whatsoever. And I would suggest that really this is what's gone wrong with a lot of mankind. A lot of the countries that you see, they just have, you know, kids running around. Unfortunately, although the people that want to criticise the Christian faith and the you know, the people that have tried to go out and spread the word, the evangelists and all the other people that have tried to make sure that people have a set of rules to live by, you know, by Britain becoming multicultural and multi-faith, maybe it's now almost like the true Christian faith is not being taught, or other faiths are not being taught strongly enough. Rather, maybe some of these Ofsted comments might be right, that, you know, I mean, this is an area we you can't allow children to just experiment. And to think
I agree with you, absolutely. And I think that to some degree, a large degree, possibly, that multiculturalism has diluted the faith that we had, or that you and I perhaps knew when we were growing up, and introduce other beliefs, other faiths that have... It's kind of like a mixing pot and there's no real direction to it.
Yeah, I think that the big thing for me is that's only the big part that you can start to control at the moment, because the minute the kids come out of school and they put on the TV, they're besieged by teenage programs which seem to suggest that they should all jump into bed or do a little bit of experimenting. And the words of the songs on Radio 1 at the moment, a lot of them are totally outrageously pornographic. And nobody seems to even want to know about that.
But I think, you know, as an adult listening to some of this music, I totally zone out to the words. For example, with that Blurred Lines, I wouldn't have known what that meant had I not have then seen the publicity about it. But maybe it's the kids that do listen to the words, and then, you know, obviously the message that's relayed in the words. But I mean, I honestly, as an adult, I don't really listen to the words. I'm listening to the tune, and I quite like the tune, and that's it. So I'm quite oblivious. Now, whether that's irresponsible or not, I don't know. I think the responsibility is to the publishers of the music, the people that are writing the music, the songs rather. Yeah, but there needs to be a shared responsibility to this.
But I mean,
maybe if I had young children, that would be my responsibility too.
Well, when we were growing up, a lot of the music of the 60s had subliminal messages that we didn't really understand. As you went from the 50s into the 60s, there weren't really songs which were violently advocating sex, which is what is happening now. These rappers, I'm sorry to...
Across the board.
It might be across the board, but I think that you'll find that a lot of the rapping has come really from ghettos. I've seen
the origins, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you can take it back to gospel. Wasn't gospel also rapping?
Well, yeah, but it wasn't giving that sort of message, was it? I think at least...
I'm missing your words there a bit, Vince. Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Well, I was only saying that really, at least with the gospel message, I think the likelihood of trying to promote sexual activity, I think that really diminishes a bit.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a totally different message, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Annie, well, look, I think that's as far as we can go with this one. I think that it's been very healthy talking about it because I feel strongly about it, and I'm really, really sad that so many... children seem to think now that it's okay to have a child without the responsibility. And, you know, like the parents of a 12-year-old boy who'd got an 11-year-old girl pregnant, and they said they were proud of him. Well, sorry, any son of mine, even at the ages of 16 and upwards, that got a girl pregnant and didn't stand by her wouldn't have my respect, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. A wonky world.
Yeah. Okay, Annie, well, hopefully everything's technically better today, and hopefully I'll get this up on the internet later today.
Okay, lovely. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks,
have a
Annie.
Good day.
Be in touch soon. And we were talking about the reports that have been in the newspapers regarding the number of unwanted pregnancies. That figure again, 2,538 under 16s had an abortion in 2013. The figure for 2012 was 2,925. And in the UK last year, 185,331 women of an age, well, all age groups, had abortions in the UK last year. Is that a figure to be proud about?